Hi, good afternoon, everyone, or good morning, and thank you for joining us for the webinar today for the virtual advising for Europe and Eurasia. So this is an opportunity for us to present all the opportunities for the Fulbright Jewish Scholar Program for 2019-2020. And my name is Anthea Kelsucci. I'm the Outreach and Recruitment Analyst here in New York City for the Institute of International Education. And we're going to be doing the presentation together with my colleague, Mary Rose Zeller, who is the Outreach and Recruitment Coordinator based in Washington, D.C., working also for the Institute of International Education. If you have any questions, please feel free to chat in the box, and we'll answer them later on after the presentation. Just so that, again, if you can see the presentation and hear us, just let us know if you have any difficulties. So if we might just move on to discuss a little bit about the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program. If we can move on to the next slide, that would be great. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, the program was established in 1946. And the main goal of the program was to, and still is the main goal of the program, is to promote mutual understanding and strengthen the relationships between the U.S. and other people of in other countries. So I would just like to ask my colleague, Mary Rolfe, who has the control. Yes, excellent. Thank you so much, Mary Rolfe. So as you can see in the picture, this is like the first time a Fulbright Scholar went on a program in the 60s. And in Burma, it was a very small boutique program, and over the years it grew so big, and it stood the test of time for 72 years now. On the right-hand side, you can see a more recent picture of a Fulbright Arctic Scholar. So the program has been active for 72 years now. It is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State, the Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, and administered by the Institute of International Education here in the U.S. We work closely with Fulbright commissions overseas, or with the U.S. embassies of hosts overseas to finalize all the details of the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program. Fulbright program is considered one of the most prestigious programs in the world, with the biggest number of recipients. And in a second, we'll show you like how big the program is for you to understand. There have been, up to date, 380,000 Fulbrighters awarded since 1946. And just in terms of Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, we send about 800 scholars a year. The program, overall, the Fulbright Program is active in 160 countries. And many of the participating Fulbrighters are now heads of state or government, just like, for example, the president of Croatia is a Fulbright alum. So the program goes both ways. It's an exchange program. Then there are many Nobel Prize laureates, Pulitzer Prize recipients, MacArthur Fellows, and even Presidential Medal of Freedom recipients. So this is a good chance that you apply for the Fulbright program, because to get the award, the grant, you would be part of a very big network of prestigious families. But before you consider applying and starting your Fulbright journey, you need to check the eligibility for becoming a Fulbright U.S. Scholar. First and foremost, the most important eligibility criteria is to be a U.S. citizen. This is a strict rule, so just because, again, it's a bilateral program. It is funded as well as by other countries. So they really want to have a U.S. representative, a citizen of the United States, who would serve also as a cultural ambassador. The other requirements are the degree depending on the award. Sometimes some awards require PhD or other terminal degrees. Many awards in the core program, they are flexible and open and welcome applicants with masters or sufficient professional or academic experience. In each award, you see the descriptions and details for this. Professionals and artists outside of academia are welcome to apply as well. So the program has evolved over the years. It started with academics initially, but over the years, they welcome professional and artists as well. Teaching experience is different for every award, so just pay attention to the requirements for the teaching experience. Also, there are new policies on previous Fulbright Scholar grants, and now the waiting period between the two Fulbright grants, it has to be 2 years. So just pay attention to that. How to select the right award? First of all, when you decide to apply for the Fulbright Youth Scholar Program, the most important aspect of this application is to select the right award. So you can do that by narrowing your search by region, country, and discipline. So here is just a snapshot of the catalog of awards and how to do the search. And you can search by the region, in this case it's Europe or Eurasia, and then you select the country and select the discipline. And then once you hit the search button, you will get all the opportunities there. And try to see which one best fits your background, expertise, and knowledge. Sometimes there are awards that welcome applicants from all disciplines. So there could be a specific university that welcomes participants in all disciplines that they offer. You can use advanced search functions to search by degree requirement, professional profile, and grant activity. We'll show you in a minute how you can do that on the actual live catalog of the awards. Another very important factor to consider is the relevance of the project to the country. Why will the host country benefit from your project? How will they benefit from your project? And why couldn't you do this in another country, or why is that needed in that specific country that you're considering to apply?
Hi guys, so it looks like we might have lost Aphrodita's audio for just a bit, so I'll go on and jump in. My name's Mary Rolf.
Hi, I'm Mary Rolf. I'm back.
There we go.
Okay, so can you hear me now? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just go back to the Europe and Eurasia overview and what does it represent. It is the largest regional program within the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program with unique awards spanning from Iceland to Azerbaijan, Kosovo, UK, Russia, Germany, all these countries that are listed in Europe and Eurasia. As the Bologna process shaped higher education across Europe, now it is an exceptionally exciting time to collaborate with colleagues at European institutions of higher education. Applicants can propose to teach, research, or pursue a combination of teaching and research at some of the best universities and research institutions in the world. So you can have an impact whether you decide to apply to a Fulbright Youth Scholar Program in a very advanced research institution or at a country where it's like still developing and would still need and require your expertise in order for them to get a better higher education. Europe and Eurasia offers a diverse range of opportunities, from multi-country opportunities in the EU to discipline specific awards such as migration studies in Marseille, France, and STEM opportunities in Ukraine, early career, flex options. So there are all these opportunities. It offers over 260 awards. And it is the Fulbright brand in Europe and Eurasia will enable you to contribute to the rapidly changing landscape of higher education. So this is a pure exchange where you would learn from your peers, but they would also learn a lot from you. Just to go a little bit over the UK, United Kingdom, if you run a general basic search for the UK, you'll see that there are 35 awards offered for 2019-2020 in teaching in combination with research and research alone. Approximately about 40 grants are offered for US faculty and professionals to conduct teaching, research, or in combination of both in a variety of fields. Award opportunities include visiting professorships, distinguished chair grants. Now there is the new Cybersecurity Award offered this year. They even offer the Cancer Research Award at a very prestigious cancer research center in the UK, and a number of partnership awards at designated post-universities or institutions. Now, just to, a little bit of information, like UK doesn't offer an open award, an all discipline award that you can choose the host institution yourself. So it either offers an all discipline award with a partner university or institution, or there is, for example, the cybersecurity award that is open to collaboration with any appropriate institution in the UK. So just to pay a little bit of attention to these details. University of Manchester Distinguished Chair in Humanities, for example, and we may just go to this award to show it to you live. Nairobi, if you could help us go to the Fulbright University of Manchester Distinguished Chair in Humanities. And just to show you a little bit, this is a 6-month opportunity to do teaching or research. So just pay attention to the grant length. The grant dates are very important. See, like it says, grant date may begin any time after September 1st, 2019. But that means you have to begin before April 30th. So this is a very important detail. In order for you to make a more competitive application, you have to pay attention to every single requirement or description in the award. So here you can see what are the activities that you can do at the University of Manchester, and you can contribute to intellectual life in, by attending seminars or public lectures and curriculum development. And if we scroll down a little bit, you can see all the link to the Faculty of Humanities, and then you can choose the appropriate specializations that they offer. So another important feature on our catalog of awards, if you scroll up, is the second tab, the award requirements, where you can see the letter of invitation is required, and you can see here, for example, they provide a contact information, an email address where you can seek the letter of invitation. So another important aspect for you to look for the professional profile, so open to academics and appropriately qualified professionals outside of academia. So it is quite flexible there. Then there is the third tab, where you can see information about what are the benefits and special benefits, and whether this grant, for example, does not include dependent allowance. So some grants offer that, some do not, because depending on the timeline. And the last tab, the fourth tab, where you can look at the country area overview and get more information. Again, on the right-hand side, you can see the deadline, the degree requirements, the category, how many grants are offered, and You can speak for each award. There is a designated program staff that can always reach out by email or call and get more information. So if we go back to the presentation, we can continue to talk a little bit more about the opportunity sense.
Hey, Aphrodita, so we had a question for the about the UK specifically. So somebody asked, do I understand correctly that I cannot arrange a Fulbright with an English institution that is not on the list? So can you talk about more about those co-sponsored awards in the UK?
Yes, that's a great question. Yes, as I indicated earlier, UK government offer an open award, which means you can affiliate with any institution outside the partnership award. So that's why we have only named awards. These are just a few of them because, like we mentioned, there are about 35 awards offered, and most of them are awards in partnership with a university or an institution. So you have to just, follow the named awards and partnership awards, and you can only affiliate with those. Except for, that I mentioned, the cybersecurity award. If that's your discipline, then you can choose the institution that you would like to affiliate with. Thank you. If we can continue with France, it offers approximately about 18 core Fulbright Scholar grants for research, teaching, or a combination of two in a wide range of fields. So you can see, for example, we have the regional awards for France, and some of the awards even offer like postdoc opportunities. So the junior research or early career awards. So you can see how flexible the awards in France are. And then if we click, for example, on the Nobel Aquitaine Regional Award, NERO, just want to show them this is a region in France. And here you can do research in the area of specialization. And then it's just the research. They offer up to two grants, and it's 3 to 9 months. The grants may begin anytime after September 2019. So this is, you need to affiliate with Nobel Aquitaine universities or research centers. So you are also expected to reside in that region. And your research work will be related to that particular region. So if you decide to apply to this regional award, then you need to focus primarily and only on doing research in this part of France. Again, you can search for other opportunities in France. The Fulbright IMRA, Marseille University Chair in Migration Studies, and then there are other regional awards that you can certainly look into. The Fulbright Chapuis Distinguished Chair, so, and then lastly, it's the Fulbright Faisan University Award. Again, we have done webinars for these countries that offer numerous and many opportunities, so you can just look at the archive webinar, and then of course always send us any questions, particular questions, either now or later on the email address posted on our website. So we can, I will talk a little bit about Austria, and then Meryl can talk about Spain. Austria offers up to 25 awards, including 2 research awards, 20 teaching awards with research options only, 1 distinguished teaching award, and 1 artist in residence award. The great majority of awards are anchored at specific Austrian institutions and correspondingly dedicated to both institution-specific fields of interest, ranging from natural and life sciences, engineering and business and economics, to the social sciences and humanities. So Boccia is also characteristic because they offer this artist in residence award. It's a 2-month opportunity, and it's very flexible award, and they welcome artists to apply to this award. So then there is the Fulbright FH John and University of Applied Sciences grad visiting professor in computer sciences. So just to see how there are different disciplines and variety of disciplines offered there. Again, if you want to listen to more specific information about Austria, we have done an Austria webinar, and it is archived, and the link is here, so you can just pay a little bit more attention. Again, ask any questions if you're interested to apply to Austria. Nairo, would you like to tell us more about Spain?
Hi, Aphrodita, thanks. So I am quite partial to Spain since I studied abroad there and lived there, so I asked Aphrodita if I could take the Spanish slide. So this is just a sampling of the awards available in Spain. This by no means even covers half of the awards that Spain is offering, and the awards that we have online here are discipline-specific. So there is a general all-disciplines award. However, the ones that we put online, just to give you guys a sample of, are all discipline-specific. So the first one is in mechanical engineering at the Universidad de Vigo. So Vigo is a region, is a city in Galicia, which is a region in northern Spain, actually right on top of Portugal. It's beautiful. It's lush. It's actually quite similar to Scotland in topography, geography, all of that. So that's a wonderful region. It's quite different than the standard bullfighting and, more desert-esque atmosphere that you get in the south of Spain. The second award that we have here is the Tourism Award in the Universidad de Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. So this is an awesome award in that one of Spain's largest economies is tourism. And so, you have a ton of people from Northern Europe coming to Spain every year. You have people from all over the world coming to Spain every year to visit their beautiful beaches, to get soak up all of that sun before they return back to the cold weather. And so this is a great place if you're looking, if you're in any sort of hospitality research, economics, business, anything that's involving tourism, this is a great award to look at. The last award that we have right here is the Veterinary Biology Award at the Universidad de Murcia. So Murcia is on the Mediterranean side of Spain. It's quite a large region, and just an interesting tidbit about the people there is that everybody always makes fun of people from Granada for their accents and their Spanish, but people in Murcia also sometimes get picked on a lot for the way they speak their Spanish. But if you're interested in veterinary biology, this is the perfect award for you because it's hyper-specialized, and so I'd consider looking into it if you are in any way a veterinary specialist. And the Aphrodita also recorded a webinar specifically on Spain. It's fantastic. It includes actually an alumni and it also includes a contact from the Spanish Commission. So they give really great insight, even better than and different than what we can offer here at IIE. So the next two countries I want to highlight are Belgium and Germany. So Belgium has 4 awards. One is an all-disciplines award, so that's that generic award that, if you want to go to Belgium but none of the other awards seem to fit, that's where you might want to fall into. The second award is actually one of the Fulbright-Schumann awards that is specifically being hosted in Belgium. And so the Schumann awards are these EU-centric awards. They're talking about policy, they're talking about economics, they're talking about anything that's happening with the EU and the member states, things like that. That this is the kind of award in which you'd be focusing on that type of project. The next is an all-disciplines award specifically at Hasselt University. And then lastly, there is a NATO Security Studies Award in Belgium. And so if you're doing any sort of political science, security studies, cybersecurity, all of that kind of stuff, look into this NATO Security Award. So Germany This actually, there are only two opportunities in Germany to go abroad, and one is an All Disciplines Award. The second is the All Disciplines Flex Award. More or less, they're the same type of award. They're both all disciplines, right? The difference is the grant activity length. So flex, what flex means is that you're changing the grant states and the grant length. So what you're doing is you're going to a country either two or three times over 2 years. You're not going for one big chunk of time. The generic All Disciplines Award, that's the one where you're going for, you know, a full 5 months or a full 9 months for whatever country. If you choose to flex your grant, then that's where you get to go two or three times. And all of the information about flexing a grant is going to be available in the award description, so I'll show you that really quickly. Not all awards have this flex option, but you'll find it right here if it is. And that's going to give you a lot of good information about the minimum and maximum grant lengths, different things like that. So if you have questions about flex, definitely reach out to us. But note that they're not flex awards as a whole, that flex is just an opportunity to alter the grant length of a project. Germany is special in the regard that they have just completely lifted the All Disciplines opportunity for flex into a totally separate award. Okay, and so Southeast Europe and Eurasia, a lot of these countries are ones that I cover, but I wanted to let Aphrodita talk a little bit about Albania and Kosovo since those are close to her heart.
Yes, thank you, Meryl, for letting me do that. I couldn't resist also not talking about Albania and Kosovo in particular. I am originally a Kosovo Albanian, so I used to host school writers, and I used to work for the United States Embassy in Pristina and Kosovo. So I know what the impact that the Fulbrighters made in Kosovo, and that's why I wanted just to bring a little bit more information into that. But first of all, this award in Albania about international security studies, this is at Ismail Qemali University in Vlora, which is a city on the coast in Albania, and according to the recent publications by the Lonely Planet, Albania and Kosovo are the new touristic and most attractive destinations in the Balkans. Especially if you are a very beautiful city, touristic city, and you would be also spending 45 months in a beautiful city of Vlora, and it's a city where also the Albanian independence was declared. So you would be doing lecture at the undergraduate level and prepare syllabi, share teaching techniques with political sciences professors, and consult with all board group courses on contemporary geopolitics and security issues. As you know, Albania recently also joined NATO, so this is a good time for you to make an impact if you're interested in this discipline. Just wanted to talk a little bit briefly about Kosovo as well and the opportunity for higher education. If you're really interested to make an impact on a high level and involved in the policies of improving the policies for higher education in Kosovo, you would be working as an advisor, professional advisor, and researcher at the Ministry of Education, Science and Technology. So you would be at the core or the heart of where the changes are happening in Kosovo related to improving the higher education. And besides that, Kosovo is also considered a very friendly country, and Kosovo loves Americans more than we love ourselves because of the recent history and what happened. So definitely, if you want to be considered and involved in making a true impact, besides working also professionally, enriching your career, this would be a great personal enrichment and making a lasting friend in Kosovo. So thank you, Meryl, for allowing me to speak about this. I'll stop here because then I will never stop talking.
Thanks, Aphrodita. So And again, these are by no means all of the awards offered in Southeastern Europe and Eurasia. This is just a sampling of what we have to offer. And I tried to give you guys some variety as far as the award descriptions go. So you can see that there are a couple of all disciplines awards. There's Bosnia and Herzegovina. There is Serbia. But then also Albania has an all disciplines award. So does Georgia and Kosovo. But what I really wanted to show you guys is that if there's an all-disciplines award, but then there's also a discipline-specific award that you fall into, go for that discipline-specific award, because then you're going to be competing against other people within your field. You're not going to be an anthropologist up against a mechanical engineer, you know, or a journalist up against a business professional. You know, so that way, make sure to always find the right discipline award for you. So Latvia, for example, they have an award in the sciences. They also have an award in law, and then there's another one in business administration. Georgia has this American Studies Award, which is a pretty broad discipline. You know, it can include history, literature, politics, journalism, and anything, really, that has to do with relations in the U.S. Bosnia and Herzegovina, they're an all-disciplines award, but they also give information as far as they prefer anybody that might have a project that's going to talk about nation building or helping them just with the reconstruction of their country. So that's always something to consider. Ukraine actually has up to 10 award opportunities in all different types of disciplines, so check out Ukraine as well. Okay. So that's kind of the general regional overview. So those are just some highlights of the different countries we have, the different awards available. Be sure to check out those webinar-specific country webinars that are give you more information about the countries. They have alumni on them. They have sometimes the Fulbright commissions overseas are on them, so they're great resources. But now we want to zoom out and talk about the Fulbright Awards in general and what that means for you and how to craft a good application. So the first thing is make sure you're finding a Fulbright that's working for you. You know, as much as you are altering what you want to do to fit the award also should fit you personally and professionally. So there are tons and tons and tons of award opportunities in Europe and Eurasia. Over half of the awards in the catalog of awards are in Europe and Eurasia. There also look at the flex option. So, you know, do you want to change the grant length? Can you only go abroad, you know, for 2 months at a time? Or is it better for you, because you have a sabbatical coming up, to go abroad for 6 months at a time? Also look at where you are in your career professionally and how that makes sense with the award that you're applying to. There are postdoc awards available. There are distinguished chair awards available. There are awards available for mid-career professionals. So that's all going to depend on where you're at. Just make sure to look at the professional profile category in each award. So another award opportunity that I just want to tell you guys about, but there's a totally separate webinar on it, so be sure to check that out if you have questions about it, is the Global Scholar Award. So this is one singular award in the catalog of awards, just like all of the other ones that Aphrodita and I were telling you about earlier. So just like that Universidad de Murcia Veterinary Award. The Global Scholar Award is one specific award that you get to go to either two or three countries in different world regions. So this would be one award where you're crafting a project where you go to Brazil, Portugal, and Thailand, or something like that. Again, if you have more questions about that, though, Kate Taylor is our colleague that works on that program. And then lastly, you don't have to actually be affiliated with a home university in the U.S. You can apply as an independent scholar, so artists and professionals, independent scholars, and even retired faculty are all welcome to apply for Fulbright. Just make sure you're looking at the professional profile section of the award description to make sure you fit the award. If you ever have any questions, reach out to us. So application components. So this is the nitty-gritty of what do you need to actually apply. The first is the application form. So our application is Embark. So you do have to apply online. No more paper applications, luckily for me. But with that application form, you're going to be uploading certain attachments. And so the first of those is your project statement. The project statement is the heart of your application. That's really the meat and the soul of everything that's happening. That's where you're telling us everything we need to know about what this grant's going to be. I have another slide coming up on that, so I'm not going to harp too much on it right now. The second is a CV or a resume. So we need to see why you're qualified, right? We need to see your professional experience. We need to see what you've done, what you've published, everything like that. Next is if you're doing a teaching-specific award, is either a course outline or a syllabi. So what that is if you're looking to teach, we want to see what your teaching philosophy is like. These should be examples of, you know, are you reading heavy? Are you group project heavy? What's your teaching style? So just a quick mention about teaching awards versus research awards versus teaching and research awards. Teaching awards means that your only grant activity is teaching classes at whatever your host affiliation is. Research-only awards mean that you're only researching. Teaching and research awards mean that you're doing both teaching and research with your host affiliation, but the way that you split that up is either one, going to be mentioned percentage-wise in the award description, or two, going to be up to you to split. So some awards, they'll tell you this is a 60-40 split. Other ones, you can either assume a 50-50, or you could decide I'm going to do 70-30. The way you split up your award is going to be determined, one, on your personal preference, two, on what the host institution wants you to do. So bibliography, that's the next one. That's those research-only awards, or teaching and research. That's going to be a list of, you know, what's being published in the field, what's being published in this topic that you're proposing. We want to see that you're up to date, that you're abreast on knowledge in whatever your discipline is. We want to make sure you're not quoting some guy from the 60s who was debunked 30 years ago, something like that. Another thing that you'll need to have in your application are three letters of reference. And we've got some guidelines online as far as what these letters of reference should be. So if you're doing a teaching award, it should be somebody that can evaluate your teaching. If you're doing research, maybe a collaborator. Not all of these references have to be from your home institution. In fact, they should be from a variety of places. We want to see your scholarly reach. We want to see how many people are going to be impacted from your Fulbright, and a range of references is going to show us that. And then lastly, you've got some additional application components. First is a language proficiency report. So look in the award description to see if a language is required or any knowledge of language is required for your application. Some awards in Spain will say that, you know, Spanish proficiency is preferred or something like that. And so make sure to get that covered. A lot of awards in Eastern Europe will say that English is not required for English is required only for teaching, but if you're looking to do a research project, that local language proficiency is needed to complete your project. So if that's up to you to decide how much language proficiency do you need. Are you hiring a translator to overcome that since you don't speak, you know, you don't speak Spanish, or are you working in a lab that is completely speaks in English, something like that. If you have questions about the language proficiency reports, reach out to us and we can help you navigate what that says in the award description too. Another thing is a letter of invitation. I've got a slide on that about to come up, so I won't touch on it too much. And then lastly, if you're an arts-based project, you'll need supplemental material. So this is either going to be a picture of your blueprint. If you're an architect, it'll be pictures or, you know, film or recordings if you're a musician, something like that. So project statement. Really quickly, just about the project statement, is that this is laying out your project specifics in as much detail as possible. Remember to include as many details as possible, but not be too technical. The difference being you want to make sure people outside of your field can also understand your project. You want to make sure to address why Fulbright, why this country, institution, organization, you know, why can't you do this project back home at your desk at your school? Also, make sure to go over your methodology, the goals of your research. So we want to make sure you have a plan, right? And then also talk about the outcome. So what's going to happen with what you do during your Fulbright? How are you going to disseminate the knowledge you've learned? How are you going to share it? And then also make sure to talk about how adaptable you are. So make sure to talk about the fact that, you know, you're going overseas. Things are going to be different. Life is different. Grocery stores are different. How are you going to adjust with all of these changes? We want to make sure you're adaptable, that you can fit to the environment, because it is going to be a different experience for you. So as far as special award features and requirements, I want to turn this back over to Aphrodita for a minute.
Yes, hi, and I apologize for the sound that sounds better now. But I was going on to the opportunity for us to get more questions. So we have received great questions so far. And so just to mention a little bit about the language requirements. So if we can move on, we have another colleague who just joined us, Michelle Bellucci, who also works as an outreach and recruitment specialist for the Fulbright Community College program. Hi, Michelle, and welcome to the conversation. Because I'm having a bad background noise, I wouldn't want to continue discussing, but if you, Mayor Roth and Michelle, would like to take questions, I can jump in whenever it's needed, but just to, you know, for the participants not to hear this bad construction work going on. And I apologize again on behalf of the...
Okay, sounds great, Aphrodita. We'll go on and answer a couple questions that you guys have come up with, actually. So one, somebody just asked me about the cultural adaptivity and sensitivity that you need to talk about in your project statement. So should I include these in my letter to demonstrate these qualities? I think it's great, you know, have your referees talk about who you are as a person, right? They should be making you a human too, not just a colleague, and so having somebody that can vouch for, you know, how quick on your feet you are is great. It's something also to address in your project statement, too. You know, if you have a specific example of how you've already worked with and faced some sort of, you know, adaptability challenge, go on and add it in there. We have somebody that's asking a question about the timeline, so I can go on and go through a couple of these more slides and then talk about the timeline in a minute. So let's see. So really quickly about letters of invitations and affiliations. These are non-binding letters from your potential host institution. So this is basically them saying that they're interested in you, they know who you are, they think that they can that you can benefit their university. It should include information like what resources and access you're going to have as a scholar. Are they giving you a desk? Are they giving you an email address? Are they giving you access to their libraries? Things like that. It should come from the person who you're most closely going to work with. So that would be, you know, your colleague, supervisor, whoever that may be. And if needed, it can have the dean or the department head's signatures on it, too. So institutions vary on what they need to sign off on a letter like this. Anything that is required of the host or resources is going to be listed in the catalog of awards. If there's any additional information that needs to be added to a letter of invitation, you're going to see that information specifically listed in the award description. And lastly, this letter of invitation should be on university letterhead. We want it to look legit, right? Okay. And then so some information about Europe and Eurasia specifically is that some countries ask for language requirements to be addressed. So if you're looking at France or Spain, be sure to really look over that award description to see what kind of information is required. Some countries of higher education require a letter of invitation, so make sure, you know, that you are submitting a letter of invitation if it is required. There are a couple other phrases on the catalog of awards. They might say optional, preferred, highly preferred, different, and then there's some that may even say do not seek. So be careful and be cognizant of the phrasing that we use when we're talking about the level of need of a letter of invitation. Unless it says do not seek, always try to get a letter of invitation. It's an extra boost in your application. It's one more thing that you can add to help you and to help reviewers better understand who you are as an applicant. And then, again, letters of invitation may be required, so be sure to submit those. If you don't submit a letter of invitation, then when it says it's required, you will not be eligible to go on for further review for an award. So submitting a competitive application, we've kind of talked about a lot of this stuff. So the first thing is Fulbright is a cultural diplomacy program. You're supposed to be promoting mutual understanding. You're supposed to be gaining something from the country. Country is also supposed to be gaining something from having you there, so be sure to include everything about that. Talk about why you're interested in Fulbright. Why do you want to be on a cultural diplomacy specific program versus an NSF grant or something like that? Also make sure that you are talking about why your specific country of choice is where you want to go. You can't just say, oh, I'm going here because it's a place that'll fund me. We want to know why you're interested in Kosovo or why you're interested in Albania specifically. Talk about your professional expertise, the skills that you can offer. Why does your professional career seem to be culminating into Fulbright being a perfect time for it now? Also, don't forget, it's a cultural diplomacy program, so you want to demonstrate your flexibility or adaptability. Why are you going to be a good representative for the U.S. while you're over there? Also, make sure to emphasize the outcomes impact and the multiplier effect of your grant. You're not just one singular person doing one singular thing. You're interacting with people. You're talking to people. You're setting up partnerships, all of these kind of things. So what's going to come of your grant long after you leave that country? Okay, so review criteria for grants. There are review criteria specific for teaching applications, and then there are review criteria specific for research applications. If you're applying for a teaching and a research award, that combination, you have to include both of those and address both of those criteria in your application. So just be wary of that. And give them equal representation too. You don't want to have somebody questioning your teaching skills when your research section of your proposal is perfect. You gotta make sure to give equal weight to both. Okay, so quickly about the review process and timelines, since somebody had a question about it earlier, you're basically applying for an award a year in advance of when you would leave, at least. So August 1st is the deadline this year. It's typically always August 1st. Keep that, have that burned in your brain. You have and between now and then to complete an application. Then it's going to go to technical review. We're going to make sure you have the right page numbers, everything like that. Then it's going to go to a discipline-specific review. So this is, if you're an anthropologist, it's going to be reviewed by other anthropologists. They make notes about the legitimacy of your project within the field, and then those get sent to peer reviewers. Peer reviewers are Fulbright alumni that went to the region that you're applying to. So if you're applying to Ukraine, it'll be read by other Ukraine alumni. They're the ones that then decide to either recommend or not recommend you for in-country review. If you're recommended, you'll be sent to the Fulbright Commission or U.S. Embassy overseas. And then they're the ones that are really narrowing down and deciding, okay, we have 5 grants available. Who are the 5 people that are going to get these awards? That can happen any time February through May when they're getting reviewed. So there is quite a big gap in, you know, when you submit versus when you're going to find out. You may not receive information about the status of your grant until May, finally, as to whether or not you've been awarded a grant. So just be patient. It is a lengthy process. And then application resources. So this PowerPoint is going to be available online after our presentation, probably within one business week. And so all these resources are hyperlinked for you, including those award descriptions from earlier, just for ease of access. And so we've got the application is online. We've got instructions that are step-by-step instructions to help guide you through the application. I would highly recommend reading those and using those as you fill out your application. Also, there are guidelines online. There's examples, samples of your project statement. There's information about, you know, what your margin size should be on your bibliography, things like that. There are also more webinars. So there's webinars like us. There's webinars that are country-specific, discipline-specific, sometimes even award-specific, like that Global Scholar Award. So check out the archive, but also check out the upcoming webinars that you can register for. There's also a Fulbright Scholar blog that is where alumni write about their experiences. It's great in that it can kind of give you some inspiration. And then there's also My Fulbright. So that's a registration tool for you to sign up and tell us your interest. So if you sign up and say that you're interested in Latvia, anytime we send out email messaging about Latvia, you'll get a message. Okay, and then finally, to stay connected, so My Fulbright, there's the website link right there to register your interest. Our Europe, Eurasia email address is on here as well, so feel free to email us and we'll get back to you with any questions. And then the website, and if you feel like any of your colleagues are suitable candidates for the Fulbright program, you can also refer them online. So this is a great tool if you know that somebody's coming up on a sabbatical and they should go overseas. Register them, refer them. And so with that, I want to open up the floor to questions. I know we've got a lot of really good questions right now. And so, again, this webinar will be recorded and available online. We will try to send you guys a message once it is available online. So for everybody that's registered, you'll get a link to the webinar. So one of our questions, and I'll get, if you guys are too sick of hearing my voice, I'll get Michelle to answer some of these questions too, is if a grant says up to 4 awards awarded, do all 4 awards get awarded? So an example of this, and we can show something about that, is in the catalog of awards. So let's see. We'll go to Germany. They have a lot of awards. So Michelle, would all people get awarded a grant if it says up to 4 available?
So my understanding is if they do have 4, now for Germany they do have 8 grants and they will, you know, they will try and fill all 8 spots. But if you see an award say up to 4 or up to 6 grants available, what that means is, you know, depending on the number of compelling and qualified applications, if they do have funding, they will make funding for up to those 4 grants. But if they do not have enough qualified applicants, they don't feel compelled to fill all 4 spots. So for 1 year, they might only fill 2. Other countries are very particular, and they want to bring a certain number of U.S. scholars and professionals to their country, and so they will have a fixed number. So if it says up to 4, that's exactly what it means. There are no quotas. The Fulbright program doesn't feel it has to, you know, doesn't have to accept or select applications that are not up to the Fulbright quality.
Yeah, and so another question that we had is about uploading a letter of invitation. And so a letter of invitation, while it is written by the host university, it is something that you as the applicant will attach to your application. In comparison, letters of reference, those are letters that need to be uploaded by the referee. just to preserve the integrity of the application process and the review process, we want those to be separate. And so another question we have is, let's see, is about time spent overseas and if you're eligible. So time spent overseas is going to depend on the eligibility criteria. I can pull those up for you guys on our website. And so you can read them over here. So let's do, here we go. So right here is where you'll find information about candidates who have resided abroad. And so what it's saying is that candidates who have resided abroad for 5 or more consecutive years within the 6 years leading up to your application date, then you would be ineligible. And with respect to Fulbright, an academic year, so 9 months, is going to round up to 1 full year. If you feel like you're getting close to that issue with time spent abroad and eligibility, reach out to us and give us some specific dates and we can help work with you.
Okay, we'll take another question. We had a question about the letter of invitation. The applicant has the hard copy version and they're asking if they can scan it and upload it directly to their application, and the answer is yes. You are able to be directly in contact with the letter, the host institution. They should write the letter of invitation to you. It should be addressed to you, and you're allowed to see that. They would probably email it to you, but if you have the hard copy, absolutely go ahead and scan that, because we will need that. That is a file that you will be responsible for uploading directly to the application.
So another kind of general question that we've gotten from a couple people are about what discipline they fall within. And so some people are saying, you know, I'm a musician, but I want to do a music education project. Or if you are, somebody is saying that they conduct design thinking workshops to pre-K university faculty. And they're trying to figure out where they fall. So my best recommendation for you is think about, if you were a student at a university, where would your class, where would your project fall into? What type of department? And also your specialization. So where, you know, what have you been educated in? What are your degrees in? Think about it with that way. So, you know, if you are a scientist but you're teaching about science technology, but it's pretty science-heavy, then go with the science. If you feel like by trade you are an educator and you happen to have fallen into, you know, science teaching, then go under an education-based award. If you have further questions or feel like you're still having trouble deciding, we can help, you know, walk through the award description with you and really kind of point out some key facets of that description to help you better make your decision. So feel free to reach out to us with a sample of your project statement as well as a CV to that europeeurasia@iie.org email address. Okay, and so another person is asking about the Flex grant. So if I am prepared to have a non-Flex grant, no time constraints, is a non-Flex favored over a Flex grant? So if any, as far as numbers-based information about Flex grants is going to be available in the catalog of awards about, you know, how many Flex grants are awarded versus non-Flex grants. So that's something you could consider if you'd like. Also, I would encourage you to make sure that if you are submitting for a Flex grant, make sure to have as detailed of a timeline as possible. You really want to prove why it's necessary for you to have to go to a country multiple times. So one example I typically give for Flex grants is, you know, are you a scientist that is studying this one specific organism that only, you know, blooms during a certain time of the year? And so you need to go back during the spring of, you know, the first year and the following year to be able to study that. Or is it something where you just are like, oh man, it'd be fun to go abroad twice. Don't apply for a flex if that's the case. You really want to have a strong rationale and reasoning behind why you need to visit a country multiple times. And there's a little bit of guidance online about as far as what information you need to address with the timeline for a flex grant, so just be sure to check that out too.
Another question we had was about potential affiliations, hostel affiliations abroad, and we had a question, can they only be universities? The answer to that really depends on the award and what it allows. So the vast majority of scholars are placed at universities. However, if the award description says under the locations that research centers, think tanks, and NGOs are also acceptable, then by all means you can seek out affiliations with those kinds of institutions. However, again, be sure to check the award. Each country and award is very specific in terms of where they'd like to have their scholars. So, again, it depends on the award you're applying to.
Okay. Somebody has a general question about what is CORE. So CORE Fulbright Awards are basically everything that we've been talking about today. So there are a couple different programs, actually quite a few programs within the Fulbright family and the Fulbright umbrella. And so just to give you an example on our website here, if you go to the Fulbright Scholar Program and you click this Programs button, you'll see there's U.S. Scholars. CORE is one of them. Then you've got IEA seminars, a public policy, Arctic, and Nexus. So CORE, these are the majority of those Fulbright grants. And these are those teaching and research abroad for 2 to 12 month opportunities. So this is kind of, when you think of Fulbright, you're typically thinking of the CORE program. IEA seminars, these are two-week, basically professional development opportunities only for international education administrators. So these are your deans, your provost of international offices. These are your study abroad advisors, people like that. This public policy fellowship is another different type of Fulbright program. The Arctic Initiative, this is something specifically for scholars or professionals that specialize in the Arctic. It's a cohort-based program that runs every 2 years. And so you can learn more about them here. CORE, again, this is what we've talked about today. Every single award that we've talked about is within the CORE program. And so I know that we have just, we're about 2 minutes over on our time here. I'm happy to answer just a couple more questions for you guys, but if you need to hop off, feel free, and we'll follow up with you via email if you have any outstanding questions, or please feel free to reach out to us with any outstanding questions. Okay, and so let's see. Oh, somebody is asking about how to reach out to potential hosts. And so there's quite a few different ways that you can do that. One is, you know, your traditional cold calling. You basically just email, you do some research, find somebody who you feel like is in the country at the university that you're looking to affiliate with, and basically just shoot them a message and say, hi, my name is, you know, Dr. Brown. I work in physical science at the University of Oklahoma. Here's a copy of my project, my CV, and I'd also wonder if you guys are interested in hosting me as a Fulbrighter. This is the type of project I'm proposing. You know, I'd like to do some sort of teaching. I'd like to do some sort of research. What are the needs that you all have at your university? Different things like that. So that's one way. It's just the traditional cold calling. A second way is using your campus at home for contacts. So do you have any colleagues that have worked overseas? Does your international studies office have any sort of exchange programs set up? Different things like that. The last one, another way, is looking at the scholar directory. So if you go to our website, again, this is our main page, and then you scroll down, the scholar directory is a list of all of our, a searchable list of all of our alumni since 2010. And so you can look up people that were also in the country or at the host university that you're looking to go to. You can also even find people specific to your discipline. So let's go with arts, and we'll try Germany. Oops. And so if you scroll down, of course, the scholar directory doesn't have, you know, contact information for the scholars. However, it is going to have where they were affiliated at a university at home. And so typically, just a quick Google search will yield some sort of email address or phone number you can call them at. But this is a great resource. A lot of times, Fulbright alumni are very excited to talk to applicants about their experiences and give any sort of tips and tricks and advice. So I would encourage you to reach out to them too. All right, and so let's see. Some people are asking about, as far as teaching, could you do a seminar or a workshop instead of teaching a full class? That is going to depend on what's already written in the award description and your collaboration with the host university and what they're willing to host somebody as doing. It's definitely something that has happened in the past, though. So I would just work with your host institution to find out more information. All right.
It's becoming quiet here. I don't have any construction work. I just wanted to ask, use the opportunity to answer one of the questions we have. Is there any way to ask us how competitive a specific award opportunity will be this year, either from current application activity or from experience of past years? I would just say to focus on making your application competitive. So from what Mary Rolfe and Michelle and I just talked about, basically following the requirements and following what the country needs are, and making sure you also share your project with a colleague or certainly a previous Fulbrighter, just to see a previous Fulbrighter from the Fulbright Scholars Directory that you would find or that you would know of, that would give you some insight and feedback on your project. And certainly another very important aspect of the Fulbright program is engaging with the local community, because that is the main goal of the Fulbright program, is to build and strengthen relationship between the U.S. and other countries. So in this case, you would serve as a cultural ambassador to think about that component. So just focus on making, again, your application more competitive.
Thanks, Aphrodita. One other question we had from a couple people is that they were wondering that they've applied in the past and they want to some guidance on why their application wasn't successful. And if you've applied in the past and you didn't receive a grant, feel free to reach out to the staff that works on the award that you applied to. And we're happy to help guide you and give you some guidance on how to make your application stronger the next time around. So again, feel free to reach out. Okay, and then somebody else had asked, is there a limit on how many awards you can apply for each year? Yes. You can only apply to one single Fulbright award per application cycle. So if you're applying to the Global Scholar Awards, for instance, you cannot also apply for the Science, Technology, and Engineering Award in Georgia. If you've applied to the Arctic program or to the IA seminar, one of the ones, say, the IA seminar to Taiwan, you also cannot apply to one of those teaching and research core grants. If you have questions, again, feel free to reach out to us. Okay. Great. So I think we're going to wrap up for the day. If you have any outstanding questions, again, we'll try to follow up. And then also, feel free to reach out to us. Either give us a call or send us an email, and we'll be sure to get back to you. All right. Thank you for joining us. Again, this presentation has been recorded and will be available online, the PowerPoint and the recording. And that will probably be within about a business week, but feel free to follow up with us. All right. Thanks for joining. Have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great day. Bye.